This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour number two of VSiN Prime Time, getting you ready for Game 5 of the NBA Finals Series, even at two games apiece. That's Matt Humans. I'm Tim Murray. We got our bets already locked in. We'll recap those coming up in just a little bit. Tip-off expected a little bit after 8:30 Eastern Time. OKC right now, a 9-point dog and a total of 223. Matt, we've got a great guest lined up who's going to give us the insights from where the action is coming. So before we welcome in our guest, Jeff Sherman, let's tell you where we're headed.
Where are the lines changing and where's the money going? Let's go behind the counter.
Yes, indeed. We go behind the counter with the VP of Risk over at the Westgate Superbook, friend of the network, friend of the show, Jeff Sherman joins us right now. Jeff, as you guys sit right now at the Westgate Superbook, looks like OKC laying 9, total 223. I want to start with the total. What have you guys seen from that standpoint? Because it looks like a little bit of late under money has been coming in over at the Superbook.
Yeah, that's what we've seen. We took some sharp money yesterday under 224. Public went back over this morning, so it ticked as high as 224.5. But then recently we got some sharp play on the under down to 223 is where we currently sit.
About the side, Jeff, the Thunder were 11.5 point favorites in the first two games at home. Now this number is down to 9. What's your read on why this number has dropped a little bit? And do you have sharp money on either side tonight?
Yeah, I mean, when the last game ended, I made this line 9.5 just because of the competitiveness that we've seen out of Indiana to this point of the series. Mm-hmm. And we were at 9.5 pretty much until this morning when we did take some respected play plus 9.5, and we were one of the first places to head down to 9. And that's where we've been sitting since that point. And, you know, we have a 10-cent spread on the point spread, too. So it's helped out attract a little bit more play on it.
How about sharp money? Do you have it on both sides tonight, or how would you characterize that?
More so on the Indiana. We've taken a couple sharp bets on the plus 9.5 on Indiana. The public's been a little bit more on Oak City, so a little bit split there.
All right, so you said you thought OKC was going to win this series in 5, but you said it's not going to be easy. When you watch Friday night's game, Pacers blow the 10-point lead. Did you feel like the Pacers kind of blew the series on Friday night, that if they go up 3-1, they had a great shot to win the NBA championship and they let it get away?
Yeah, I mean, I thought that whoever won that game would win the series, because even if Indiana had come through and won that game, I would have expected Oak City to rebound here. But then as jacked up as they'd be in Indiana for that one, it would have been hard to let that get back to a game 7. That would have been everything for Indiana at that point. Would have been a real dogfight in the next game. So, Indiana really let that one get away with, you know, they had a couple really poor plays by Mathurin with the fouls before the inbounding twice that led to extra free throws. And then when he missed his free throws, missing 3 in a row too, really didn't help the cause. So they really let that one slip away.
Jeff Sherman joining us here, courtesy of our Progressive guest line, giving us the latest from behind the counter as we get ready for Game 5 of the NBA Finals tonight. Jeff, looking at the prop market that you guys have up, Tyrese Haliburton, you've got his number sitting at 16.5, juiced over at $1.25. And then you look down to SGA, 34.5, juice minus 115 both ways for the two stars of both respective teams. What have you seen from a prop standpoint?
We've seen a little bit more over support for Haliburton and a lot of two-way on the SGA props. So just like Halliburton's been one-sided, and that one's ticked up a bit. But the SGA one at that high number is getting split.
You know, one player that we've talked about a bunch is Alex Caruso, 20 points in game 4. I mentioned the stat that SportsCenter put up on Friday night, Jeff, which is he's the first player in NBA history to have multiple 20-point games in the NBA Finals after an entire regular season in which he didn't get to 20 points once. He's sitting at 10.5. So what have you had to do from an adjustment standpoint on Alex Caruso, and have you seen much action on Caruso after his strong performances throughout this NBA Finals?
Yeah, last series against Minnesota, he was pretty much 8.5 for his points. So now you're seeing it with what he's done the production-wise in this series, up to 10.5. And going into this game, we've seen just one-way traffic on over 10.5. Haven't budged the number yet, but it's more weighted towards the over on that number that's 2 points higher than just one round ago.
How about Shea Gilgeous-Alexander? I saw today early 33.5 as a points prop, now 34.5 at DraftKings. Do you consistently, behind the book, see SGA money over, or do you have Sharp saying, hey, this number is a little bit too high, trying to buy back and play this under? Is his points prop a heavily played prop?
We get a lot of split play at that range at 34.5. You know, if you looked in earlier rounds, you could have found it at 32.5. And the public would get involved in the over, but the sharps wouldn't play that one under. But at this number, we're getting sharp play on the under with the public play on the over, so it's really split.
Jeff, have you been a bit disappointed in the way OKC's played in this series? Because I know JVT's talked about a lot about the OKC rating and sky high, and I've heard other handicappers talk about how they had OKC rated 7.5 or 8 points better than the Pacers going into the series. That has not played out in the four games on the floor so far. Do you think OKC was a little bit overrated in the betting market, or how do you read it now after four games?
Well, I just think in this series, they have not matched the intensity that Indiana's brought in each game. And you could see that. And it really took like a bailout last game to get them to tie it 2-2. But, you know, I thought they'd come a little bit more intense on that aspect of it. So I still don't think the Thunder have played their best basketball yet too. I mean, we've seen some games earlier in the playoffs where they've absolutely blown some teams out. You know, we had the one exception where they lost by 40 to Minnesota, and that's been an aberration for the whole season. But they just haven't brought the intensity like they should on every possession.
Jeff Sherman, Westgate Superbook with us. Jeff, how about first quarter, first half tonight? OKC at home. Are the bettors playing this Thunder to win the first quarter and first half, expecting them to come out and play with more urgency like you're talking about?
Yeah, that's all we're seeing is Thunder support for both of them. We opened 5.5 in the first half, we're up to 6-15 there, and we opened 3.5 in the first quarter, up to 4 there. So we haven't found anyone that wants Indiana in the first quarter or first half like they have for the game.
Did you personally play that tonight or not?
No, I didn't get involved at all with this game, so I'll just be a bystander trying to enjoy some good basketball.
Would you, Tim and I talk about the live betting aspect of throughout these games. Would you, if you believe OKC is going to win tonight, and I believe you probably do, would you try to live bet this game saying, hey, I might get a cheap price on an OKC money line if this game's tight in the third or fourth quarter? Or how do you look at live betting a game like this?
Yeah, absolutely, because, I mean, the one thing you can do, and for these NBA playoffs, most of the time you can get a better number on either side of the spread for what you're looking for at some point in the game. So like you mentioned, if it gets less and they get behind early, you might find in, you know, middle of the first or second quarter, an ability to bet the Thunder if they're down 10 points at a cheap price like that. Or if it's out of hand and they're up by 25, you might be able to find a number on Indiana where they don't quit and they've covered in-play numbers that have gotten that large.
Jeff Sherman, once again, hanging with us here, courtesy of our Progressive Guest Line. Jeff, you guys do have NBA championship odds up for next year, and no surprise here, the Oklahoma City Thunder are the betting favorite. They sit at 2-1. I'm curious what you guys did from an adjustment standpoint following the Desmond Bane trade yesterday for the Orlando Magic.
Yeah, I was at 40-1 on them, and I dropped them down to 20-1, and you know, it's a nice move just because we thought with the landscape of the Eastern Conference, with Tatum not being there for Boston, and, you know, a lot of teams are going to see what Indiana did this year and think that they can replicate that. So Orlando was lacking offense. I thought it was a good trade. They gave up a lot for Bane, but with a year that seems gettable to come out of the East, you know, they were the first team to make a move to go for it. So they definitely vaulted themselves up there into the conversation with Cleveland, New York, Indiana. So I definitely respect that, and I just knocked them down to 20-1, and we'll see what else transpires.
And then on the flip side, the Grizzlies, what do we know about them? Could they be trading Jaren Jackson? Could they be trading Ja Morant? Are they going to make a move to try to help out the roster? What did you do with the Memphis Grizzlies, a team that went 48-34 just this past season, however, got swept, of course, in the first round by the OKC Thunder?
Yeah, initially we opened them at 80-1, and I bumped them up to 100 off of this, and we'll have to, like you said, evaluate what else they might or might not do. But I don't think you're going to see this number drop anywhere south of the triple digits, even if they made some moves, because I mean, the players that they have added aren't going to help much. And I don't know what else they can go out there and get that's going to get this team back into contention in a loaded Western Conference. So right now might be the time to look the other direction and try to rebuild something. So I think this number is likely to go up rather than down.
Jeff Sherman, Westgate Superbook. Last thing, Jeff, we're about 25 minutes away from the tip here in game five of the NBA Finals. Thunder win tonight. What do you think the number is going to open in game six? And at this point, do you think this is going to be a seven-game series?
I would expect it to open OKC about 5.5.
Okay.
And I would expect OKC them to finish it off. I think that they'll win it before it gets back to seven, but it just wouldn't surprise me with what we've seen out of Indiana if it did go back there. The expectation wouldn't be there, but it wouldn't be a surprise. I'll put it that way.
Jeff Sherman, VP of Risk Management over at the Westgate Superbook. Quick one. You have your Twitter handle at Golf Odds. I would imagine pretty good outing for the book with the U.S. Open results.
Yeah, we got closed JJ Spahn 150-1, only had three pre-tournament tickets on him. So one of the better results that we could have asked for. And it's rare to get something like that, a long shot coming for a major that you don't have much support on.
Jeff, appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
There he is, Jeff Sherman. The latest from behind the counter there is they've seen some under money come in and some sharp under money. We'll recap what Jeff had to say. Also take a look once again at our bets heading into game five of the NBA Finals.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Counting down to game number five of the NBA Finals as the Oklahoma City Thunder, a 9 or 9.5 point favorite, depending on where you look. That's Matt Humans. I'm Tim Murray. The LSU Tigers, who were down 3-0 in the top of the first, have just added to their lead, Matt. They lead now 5-3 as we inch closer to officially killing my bet, which is just an inevitability at this point of under 9.5 there. 5-3, the LSU Tigers have now upped their lead after an RBI single in the bottom of the third inning, and they are now minus 1050. Once upon a time, ladies and gentlemen, you could have got the LSU Tigers at plus money after they gave up a three spot in the top of the first. So more baseball to come as we'll keep our eyes on that. Matt, also Giancarlo Stanton making his Yankees season debut, and he has come through with a base hit. Yankees and Angels right now scoreless as we head to the bottom of the fifth inning there. Stanton coming into today batting fifth in the lineup. So 1-for-2 for Giancarlo Stanton as the Yankees looking to bounce back after getting swept over the weekend by the Red Sox.
Colossal embarrassment to get swept by the Red Sox after losing 2 of 3 in the Bronx the previous week. 1-5, Yankees record against the Red Sox this season. And Aaron Judge was 1-for-12 with 9 strikeouts over the weekend at Fenway. And the one hit was a homer. It was a bomb. He hit it out of the park. But really, I felt like he should have struck out on the previous pitch. It was called a ball. Probably was strike 3. The guy could have been 0-for... It could have been 0 for the weekend with 10 strikeouts. So bad weekend for Judge and the Yankees. They do catch a break, though, because the Red Sox ownership is so incompetent. They have traded Rafael Devers, and then they continue to trade away their stars and let them go like they're a mid-sized market team.
That's
amazing to me. The Boston Red Sox letting guys like Mookie Betts. First of all, how the hell do you ever let Mookie Betts walk in Boston? Mookie Betts, Chris Sale, Rafael Devers and others, Red Sox just let them walk and they continue to act like a small market team.
It is dumbfounding. Really, it is.
7-1 in the last 8 games, and you trade away one of your best hitters.
Devers goes yard yesterday at Fenway in the 2-0 win. Adios, they trade him. You know, I was over at some friend's house yesterday watching the end of the U.S. Open. We were having a little bit of a cookout, and one of the TVs had the ESPN Sunday Night Baseball crew on, and the Jeff Passan tweet pops up, and we all just stop and say, that's not real, right? There's no way. It was real. Rafael Devers, now a San Francisco Giant.
So that was, I assume that was you and your family over at Greg Peterson's house having a barbecue?
It wasn't. I didn't get the invite to Hoops Peterson's family cookout. I imagine Hoops was at some sort of steakhouse somewhere.
We'll talk about this too. So you said you're watching the end of the U.S. Open. Let's hit on this briefly, because once the basketball game gets going, we won't talk much golf. But I thought this is one of the worst majors I've ever watched. Start to almost the finish. It was one of the best finishes to a major I've ever seen. A 64-foot putt sunk by J.J. Spahn, former San Diego State walk-on, led the first round. Everybody said, there's no way J.J. Spahn's going to hold on, go wire to wire, and win this tournament. He didn't quite go wire to wire. In fact, he bogeyed five of the first six holes.
He shot a 40 on the front nine.
I know. Couldn't catch a break. Everything went wrong. Turned out to be the best day of his life. Most memorable day of the guy's life. 150-1 shot going into the tournament. Bill 80 at VSIN put up a recap of the U.S. Open on VSIN.com last night. Matt Brown and I contributed to it, and I called it the Twilight Zone of Golf Handicapping. I've never seen a major like this, Tim, where almost every top player in the world stunk.
I know.
And the guys at the top of the leaderboard had never won a major before. But it's extremely bizarre. It's kind of cool to see Cinderella stories and underdogs have a shot to win a major like this. It's cool, except when you're losing every bet you make on the tournament.
How about our guest, real quickly, give him kudos. We had Jeff Sherman on last week, as we do every Tuesday here on the network, and he posted the winning score, 278.5. Matt, the winning score was 279.
That's right. Yeah, one under par was J.J. Spahn with that 64-foot putt was the only player in the tournament under par. And obviously the conditions played a role in that, Tim. I thought there was going to be a few guys under, and the winning score might be four under. Then it started to rain. The conditions worsened on Sunday, and you say it was bogey after bogey after double bogey, and everybody backed up in the field.
Victor Hovland, I ended up, we had Wes on the show Sunday morning, and I asked Wes, hey, of these folks, who would be worth a shot? He said, Victor Hovland. He was at, I think, plus 650, 6-1, somewhere in that ballpark, heading into the final round. So I threw a little something on Victor Hovland because all my pre-tournament bets were all dead. And, man, he's got to be kicking himself, as do many of the golfers, Matt. I mean, I felt like Victor Hovland missed so many makeable putts there on Sunday.
That's the name of the game. That's golf. You're going to burn the edges on a lot of putts and talk about the ones you could have made, should have made, but that's how golf goes. J.J. Spahn, 150-1 odds to win the U.S. Open. Second longest odds for any golfer to win a major in the last decade. Phil Mickelson was actually 250-1 at the PGA in 2021. Believe it or not, Phil Mickelson was that much of a long shot. That was 4 years ago at the PGA. J.J. Spahn, really a Cinderella story out of nowhere. That's his second career PGA Tour win. It's amazing. What happened at Oakmont over the weekend, the tough course setup chewed up the toughest players in the world and spit them out. Even Scottie Scheffler had a three-putt bogey. Did you see the three-putt from 8 feet yesterday for Scottie Scheffler? It's just bizarre to see.
And yet Scottie still finished top 10. That is pretty wild.
He was grinding to finish top 10. The only bet I won on the tournament was Xander Schauffele over Rory McIlroy in a matchup, and that was by one stroke, and that was a tough one to get to. J.J. Spahn, how about this? I saw this at Data Golf. At 3:40 p.m. yesterday, his win probability bottomed out at 1.4%. He was two over for the tournament, five over on the day, and four back of Sam Burns and Adam Scott at the time. About 3 hours later, 2.5 hours later, he was still four back and 1.8% to win. Tim, 1.8% to win at 6:33 p.m. Eastern. He birdied four of his last seven holes, and he wins the U.S. Open. Had less than a 2% chance to get it done, and he did it. And that's seriously a Cinderella story out of nowhere in golf. Nobody going into the week was talking about J.J. Spahn winning the U.S. Open.
The guy was up at 3 o'clock in the morning getting medicine for his kid who was puking. And he goes out and wins the U.S. Open
a birdie on fire, Father's Day. Bogeyed five of the first six holes. It's an incredible story just where he came from to win that. I did not enjoy the major at all. When you're losing bets, you don't enjoy the tournament. You don't enjoy the games. And I haven't talked to one sharp handicapper who had a winning U.S. Open. Everybody pretty much got their face bashed in. It's a bookmaker's dream. What happened at Oakmont over the weekend. But I have to admit, it's pretty cool to see a guy like J.J. Spahn win that tournament.
As you mentioned, a walk-on at San Diego State, and now you're U.S. Open champion. Matt, we've got Game 5 coming up in just a little bit. We both got a pre-flop position, so let's get to those bets. I'll start with you. Indiana Pacers right now, you could still get some 9.5s out there as we look at the betting market. A number of those are getting scooped up. Circa, as far as I can see, the only 9.5 out there. The Pacers, Matt, so far this postseason, 5-0 straight up and ATS after a loss this postseason. They have not lost back-to-back games since March 10th. 9 straight wins off of a loss in this postseason. 5-0 ATS off of a loss. Pacers catching 9.5.
Yeah, I took 9.5, took the points at the Pacers. Jeff Sherman of the Westgate Superbook, our guest in the previous segment, said that the Thunder have not come out and matched the Pacers' intensity. They did in game 2 a week ago Sunday night. But other than that, the Pacers have played with more of an edge. And I got to think the Pacers are going to play with an edge tonight after they blew the fourth quarter lead in game 4 on Friday night. Tim, we just talked about the low probability of J.J. Spahn winning the U.S. Open. How about Evan Abrams tweeting this from Friday night, the Thunder-Pacers game. Favorites of 6 or more points, trailing by 6 or more points entering the fourth quarter, and that team hitting 4 threes or fewer the entire game. NBA teams were 0-115 against the spread in that spot since 2009 until OKC got the cover on Friday night. So I bucked a 0-115 trend. And that's one of the craziest flukiest covers you're ever going to see. If you laid the points with the Thunder on Friday night, don't complain about a bad beat for a while.
You laid the points and you had the over in Panthers Oilers. Go get yourself a lottery ticket because both of those were pretty fortunate. I want to read this tweet from producer Dustin Sweetelson. I guess he just said this on Mad Dog Radio. He said, I bet on VSIN Live that I would shave my beard off if the Pacers win this game tonight. I haven't been clean shaven since 2005.
Tim, I will shave my head tonight if the Wizards win this game.
I don't know why I had the Wizards. Who wants to talk about that meaningless franchise? Hey, folks, just a reminder, if you want to check out right now where the public is betting, you can check it out over at vsin.com. Betting splits, and you can check those out for just $9.99. Head on over to vsin.com/subscribe.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Keep it rolling here on VSiN alongside Matt Humans. I'm Tim Murray. We're moments away from tip between the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Indiana Pacers. Matt has taken the points pregame with the Pacers. I do have one bet. I took under on Tyrese Halliburton assists under 8.5. I think I laid -140 on that prop here at Circa, either 140 or 145, Matt. So pretty heavy juice, but I didn't want to take 7.5, which was out there at a couple of other spots as well. So I do expect, you know, we talked about the game 3 bounce back. He went over on both points and assists in that game. I think you're going to see, and you mentioned it, I think we're going to see aggressive Tyrese Halliburton. Mm-hmm. I'm just curious if he's going to be able to facilitate as well as he did in game 3. He's really struggled. He's gone under 8.5 in 3 of the 4 games. The way that the defense has kind of clamped him down, I think he is going to struggle to facilitate like he has throughout the majority of this postseason.
Yeah, I could see that as well. I think he's having a hard time finding his rhythm in the half-court offense when OKC put so much pressure on it. It put a lot of ball pressure on, and I don't think he's handled it real well. And I do think he could be more of a scorer tonight If I had to guess, I'd say Halliburton's going to be more aggressive in terms of trying to find his shots, trying to score. He had 18 points Friday night, but 1 for 7 from three. And again, I don't know why, but if you watch him throughout the postseason, and he did this a lot in regular season as well. After a big game, he'd be quiet. They'd have a big game, he'd be quiet. I think he knows he's got to have a big game tonight. And the Pacers, they had a margin for error to play with there, and they blew it Friday night. And that's why I think taking the points is probably the right idea with the underdog tonight. And again, I want to mention I'm taking Pacers plus 9.5. But while we're talking about this live broadcast, the live betting aspect of it, I am hoping at some point to get the OKC Thunder at a cheap money line price to set up a big middle, a sort of a middle on this game tonight. You don't want to pay too much on the money line on OKC, so we'll see where it drops. But you know, using this college baseball game as an example, LSU's up 5-3 on UCLA. LSU went off as a $3 favorite, minus 300. It was 3-0 UCLA in the first inning. You could have grabbed a plus price on LSU at that point, and if you did, you're sitting pretty, because right now LSU up has wiped out that 3-0 deficit, up 5-3, and is now minus 800 on the money line. That's the type of thing tonight. I'd love, Tim, for a scenario to set up where the Pacers actually get off to a fast start. I think most people expect the Thunder to get off to the fast start tonight in the first quarter, first half. I would love to see that flip where the Pacers get off there a fast start, and I could set up that middle and play OKC money line.
Quick update on the College World Series. LSU, as Matt mentioned, up 5-3 right now on UCLA. However, I believe for the first time this go-round in Omaha, we have a weather delay. They've always they'll get those pop-up showers in Omaha, so we have a current weather delay between UCLA and LSU. If somehow, some way, we can restart this game and no one scores another run, maybe we can get the under. Maybe. It's not dead yet, but it is quickly dying. That is for sure. So, Matt, I want to hit on this before we hear a little Pascal Siakam sound. You are once again on the Pacers. We have a graphic to show you folks about how the Pacers have fared this postseason coming off of a loss. So 5 games prior to tonight, they have lost. So 6 total now. Going back to the Milwaukee series, they lost game 3 against the Bucks on the road. They were catching 4 in game 4. They won by 26. Game 4 of the Cleveland series, Matt, they lost game 3 to the Cavaliers. They bounced back as a 5-point home dog, crazy to think, and won by 20. Eastern Conference Finals, lost game 3 to the Knicks, bounced back, won by 9 as a 3-point favorite, and then the series clincher against the Knicks, 4-point favorites, won by 17, and in these NBA Finals, Matt, they lost game 2 on the road, 123-107, they go back home, they play OKC, they win that game 116-107, so once again, this is a Pacers team who has been resilient, have not lost back-to-back games since March 10th. I mean, think about it this way, Matt. Both of these teams coming off losses this year. The Thunder, they're 18-2 now, straight up after a loss, winning 90% of those games. And the Pacers have won 9 in a row off a loss, have not had back-to-back losses since March 10th. So we'll see if this trend continues. And you are hoping so, at least from a standpoint of a covering standpoint, as they are 5-0 this postseason off of those losses.
You can't be surprised by trends like that when you're talking about two teams that are playing for a championship, right? They got here for a reason, and that's because they bounced back from losses. Pacers, I think, getting the 9.5 tonight, probably in a good spot, because even though they know they can go home in game 6 and keep this series alive, you don't want to have to depend on winning a game 7 situation on the road. If the Pacers can find a way to steal this game 5 tonight, but you know, they can make up for the blunder of blowing game 4 on Friday night. So Pascal Siakam, let's actually hear from Siakam, yep, because I got a couple stats I want to give you in regards to his points prop tonight.
Pascal Siakam, once again, real quickly before we get to him, Matt, look over our shoulders. 8.5 now is the number. So we have seen Pacer money hit the board here at Circa.
Money line dropped from minus 400 to minus 350, too.
222.5 and 8.5 is where we sit now for the total and the spread. Under and Pacer money hitting Circa here moments before tip-off. As Matt mentioned, Pascal Siakam, his thoughts on turning the page and heading into game 5 after blowing that 10-point lead on Friday night.
Yeah, well, we gotta go out there. I mean, we've won some games on the road before, so I think we just gotta go out there with our confidence. Continue to, like I said, we watched what we did wrong and trying to get better at those things. And at the end of it, you know, like we just gotta go out there and again do things that we've done in the past. And so we have that confidence that we can do it. So it's gonna take a lot and it's gonna be hard, but I think, you know, we have the group capable of doing that.
All right, man. What are the numbers that jump out to you regarding Mr. Siakam?
You remember where Pascal Siakam played his college basketball?
Oh, no.
I bet very few people could get this.
It's like a D2 school, right?
New Mexico State.
Oh, that's right. Not a D2
school. Las Cruces, New Mexico. Not many people would remember that because New Mexico State doesn't have many televised games, Tim. Pascal Siakam straight out of Las Cruces via Cameroon. But Siakam, points prop tonight, 18.5. He scored 19 points or more in three of the four games in this series, and he's been to the free throw line a lot. 7.3 free throw attempts per game in the finals. This is kind of an under-the-radar prop, too. You don't hear a lot of talk about Pascal Siakam, but I think that's, you know, instead of focusing on Halliburton getting the points, which I think they're tough to come by, the points for Halliburton against this OKC D have been tough to get. I think Siakam might be the better bet over the points prop tonight because he's done that three or four times here in the finals.
Yeah, let's take a look at some of the prop numbers heading into the Game 5 as they're doing for the first time, Matt, since 2013. They're showing on air the pregame introductions. I kind of like this, that they're doing the pregame intros there. I remember, as many, I'm sure, of our listeners and folks watching in remember, that's why we know all so well about the Bulls intro. Watching those games on WGN, you'd get the full breakdown there of those games back in the 90s. All right, taking a look at the player point props here tonight. Let's run them down. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, 34.5. I believe Jeff Sherman let us know. That's a two-way action on 34.5.
I don't think you're going to get many, I'm going to say, really sharp bettors who are going to play over that type of number.
Siakam, 19.5. These are DraftKings numbers. Mm-hmm. Even money to the over on Pascal Siakam.
19.5?
19.5.
Okay, because I saw 18.5 out there in the market, yeah. Too.
As always, look around, and you know, that's important, right? There are 7.5s out there for the bet that I made. I laid the extra juice, which sometimes, you know, that could come back to bite you. Speaking of Tyrese Halliburton, Westgate, when we had Jeff Sherman on, they were at 16.5, mm-hmm. Matt. DraftKings sits at 17.5. You're expecting a decent night from Tyrese Halliburton.
I am, just because he tends to bounce back from, let's say, mediocre or poor performances. And he was 1-for-7 from three with 5 turnovers on Friday night. I know he feels some responsibility for the Pacers blowing that game when they had a chance to go up 3-1 in the series. And even though Oklahoma City's defense has made life hard on him, can't forget what he did in Game 3, Tim. When he's more aggressive, when he's trying to find his scoring opportunities and setting up his teammates and putting pressure on the OKC defense instead of laying back and let them pressure him, he can put up the numbers. You called it in Game 3. You know, we both expected him to come. I said 22-10 points and assists is what I expected him to get in Game 3. He nearly had a triple-double. I know you played over his points and assists prop. He can do it because he did it in Game 3. He's just got to get more aggressive and more assertive running that half-court offense.
Circa's going to close. Pacers plus 8.5. So late Pacer money hitting the market. And speaking of Circa, if you want to hang out here this summer, how about the deal they're offering? The all-in summer package, $400. Two-night stay, $100 dining credit, $100 beverage credit, very own day bed at Stadium Swim, $400, resort fees and taxes included, limited time offer through September 4th. Head on over to CircaLasVegas.com. Game 5 underway.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We're underway in Game 5 of the NBA Finals, Matt, and this is off to a pretty fun start between the Pacers and the Thunder. 13-12, the Thunder have the lead. And how about this, Matt? You know, we'll talk about the point spread and the money line. The total closed at 222.5 here at Circa, late under money. Jeff Sherman said they had sharp bets on the under. Live total, 235.5. We've already seen it move 13 points, Matt, in less than 4 minutes of action.
I bet the total twice in this series. In game one, I bet under 231.5. In game four, I bet under 227.5. But, Tim, I didn't see any value tonight in playing under this total. It had dropped to 222.5 at Circa. Jeff Sherman was talking about 224 as where sharp money was showing up before game five tonight. It's just, I thought there was value in playing the under when you're talking about a total up in the 230 range. But now when you get down to 223, I went ahead and passed on the total tonight. I think it's very interesting, though, when you talk about sharp money showing up on the under, and then 3 minutes into the game, the live total is up 12 points, right? So, again, you're talking about if you're just patient, you could have played whatever you played on that total pregame. You could have played under 234.5 right now.
Yeah, and my pre-flop bet not off to a great start as Tyrese Haliburton already 2 assists right out of the chute. So I bet under 8.5. And once again, the juice that I paid, Matt, on under 8.5, I could get the same juice at under 9.5. So early assists here for Tyrese Haliburton. And, you know, if you are in a state that has DraftKings, there are a lot of in-game opportunities, not just from a point spread and a total standpoint, Matt, but also player prop standpoint. So we do have a break in the action, 7:45 to go in the first quarter. Your live point spread now, Thunder minus 10.5 as they lead 17-12. And we've seen the point total go up 11 points from close as it is at 233.5. Really strong start from both sides as we look at the Pacers, Matt, shooting 5 of 7 from the field, 2 of 3 from three. And how about the Oklahoma City Thunder? Already 7 for 9 from the field. SGA, he's got 4 points. Jalen Williams picking up where he left off, 6 points. And your guy, Chet Holmgren, who looks so dapper walking into the arena today, 5 points for Chet Holmgren.
Can we get that photo of Chet Holmgren, Justin, producer? Let's throw up the photo of Chet Holmgren strutting into the arena tonight, all dressed up for an NBA Finals game. Here it
there
is.
There he is.
White pants, white T-shirt. What a bozo. You know what? I would not dress like that to walk outside to pick up the mail. Tim.
No.
You wouldn't want your neighbors to see you dressed like this. This is how he's showing up to an NBA Finals game tonight.
It's fashion, man. It's fashion, I guess. I don't know. As we watch a commercial now that he is a part of there as well. So Oklahoma City, a good start for them, Matt, 17-12.
Pacers were up 12-11. Yep. And at that point, the Thunder money line, the money line on OKC was starting to drop. I saw it drop as low as 275. Well, that's how quickly things change. Pacers up 12-11, now down 17-12. Money line went from minus 275 to minus 425 on OKC. And, you know, it's crazy. We talk about it every game, and it still amazes me how quickly these numbers fluctuate in the first 4 or 5 minutes of a game.
How about this, Matt? Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, remember how many assists he had on Friday night?
Zero.
Zero. He had as many assists as you and I did in that game. He's already got 2 assists. And I know a lot of people out there that liked his under tonight. I looked at it and I said, it feels like a trap a little bit. And I'm not saying he's going to get there, Matt, but already 2 assists for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Law Murray, who covers the Clippers for The Athletic, tweeted this out. The Thunder only had 11 assists in game 4 at Indiana. Through the first 4 minutes and 15 seconds in game 5, Oklahoma City has 6 assists on their 7 field goals. And Isaiah Hartenstein has 3 of them.
Hartenstein played 21 minutes Friday night, barely made a dent in the box score.
And it's funny how these series play where you just different guys step up. Alex Caruso, he has entered the game. He'll be taking his first couple minutes, coming off the bench here. So, media timeout, 17-12. Good start for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Strong start for Jalen Williams as well. 3 turnovers, Matt, already for the Indiana Pacers. So you're starting to see that defense continue. My pre-flop position was under 8.5 assists for Tyrese Halliburton. Didn't love the start here. 2 assists already for Tyrese Halliburton, and both have come to Pascal Siakam. You mentioned Siakam may be a guy to look at from a point total standpoint, Matt. Already 5 points for Pascal Siakam and the Pacers.
At 18.5, I thought his prop was worth playing over, but he has topped that number 3 or 4 games in the finals so far, and I thought pretty good chance he's going to do it tonight. Siakam's one guy the Thunder, I think, had trouble containing in each game. They can find ways to kind of throw a blanket, wet blanket over Tyrese Halliburton at times, but they have not really found a way to keep Pascal Siakam from finding his shots. And he's getting to the free throw line a lot. Like I said, 7.3 free throw attempts per game in the finals. Obi Toppin has been a valuable player for the Pacers off the bench as well. But the Pacers right now struggling in their half-court offense. That's one thing. Indiana made a living, Tim. Just killed the Knicks in points off turnovers in the previous series. And they were getting out on the break, dominating on fast break points and points off turnovers. The Thunder don't turn the ball over that much, and the Pacers are having to execute their half-court offense a lot more because they're not getting the freebies on the fast break points.
Rick Carlisle is not pleased right now.
It should have been a foul call.
Yeah, I think Andrew Nembhard.
I don't know if that was a foul. I think that was.
I actually thought that was a pretty smart play by Lou Dort. He kind of did the ole, and Andrew Nembhard was, you know, I think expecting some sort of contact, and a technical foul, I believe, has been assessed on Rick Carlisle. You know, Andrew Nembhard, you and I love college basketball. He was great in his college career at Gonzaga. And he's one of those guys that, you know, he dropped to the second round. I think he was the first pick of the second round. And there was a story. I think it was Brian Windhorst told this story about he had been working out for the Bucks a number of times. Mm-hmm. And the Bucks. He said he even canceled one of his visits to the Pacers because he was working out for the Bucks again, Matt. And the Bucks ultimately passed on him. And now he kind of uses it as motivation every time he's out there that he was passed on. He's been really good this postseason. He's another one of those role players, Matt, that you see so often that, you know, you need those types of players to win championships. And he's been a really nice piece as he goes to the bucket again. And finally, I think Miles Turner is going to get an and one opportunity here. 22-14, Matt.
Previous, I want to point this out. Previous possession for the Pacers, Tim, while you were talking there, Tyrese Halliburton tried to drive the lane. And he flopped into the lane and coughed up the ball. Thunder went the other way on a fast break, and Alex Caruso cashed in with a layup again. Tyrese Halliburton's having trouble handling that ball pressure that the OKCD throws at him. Way too many turnovers, and that led to a fast break opportunity for the Thunder.
Already 4 turnovers for the Indiana Pacers, as you remember. Game one, a game in that somehow, I mean, it's funny how this series has played out, Matt, where I think 2-2 is right. But game one, the Thunder were the better team for 47 minutes, but they didn't get to the finish line. And then game four, the Pacers, in my opinion, were the better team for, you know, 45 minutes or so. But I guess not. That's not true. Maybe 36 minutes. Fourth quarter, I thought, was relatively dominated by the Pacers, but the offense went completely stagnant. Miles Turner did not complete the 3-point play. How about the Thunder so far, Matt? Dominating inside the paint, as they already have 16 points inside the paint. You know, it's funny because you think of these teams and you think of teams around the NBA, you know, the Celtics come to mind, a team that loves to shoot the three. Mm-hmm. How about the fact that the Thunder won on Friday night, making 3 3-pointers?
Didn't really deserve to win the game. They stole the game. But, Tim, to follow up on your point, the Pacers stole game one, yep. 111-110. Halliburton hits the shot. Pacers steal it. That's how you win championships. You steal games. Tim, when you steal one, you can't give it back. And the Pacers gave it back on Friday night. They should have been up 3-1. They stole game one, true. But that's how you win championships. Again, what did the Florida Gators do? Probably should have lost to UConn. Yep. Probably should have lost to Texas Tech. Mm-hmm. Probably should have lost to Houston. You got to steal games on your way to a championship.
When Houston stole one against Duke in the Final Four.
And when you steal games, you can't give it back. And the Pacers gave one back Friday night, and I think that's going to cost them the championship.
5 turnovers already for the Indiana Pacers here in this opening quarter, and the total is started to dip back down a little bit, Matt. Mm-hmm. You could have. We'll see if the peak was 235.5, because that's what we hit when this thing got off to such a fast start. 22-14 is the score as Lou Dort misses a three-point opportunity there. But Hartenstein there to get an offensive rebound. I tell you what, man, Hartenstein's going to head to the free throw line. They are getting after it on the offensive glass. And I like that. TJ McConnell, hard foul on Hartenstein. They dap each other up. They're good. They're going to shoot some free throws. Hey, folks, just a reminder, if you want to bet smarter this football season, no better way to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. You can get full VSiN Pro access all the way through the Super Bowl for $175. It's called our early bird deal. Head on over to VSiN.com/subscribe. You get that football special for $175.